to see God's goodness. God just began to speak that to me today. And you know, just like Monkey, whenever something happens, he expects. That's what the scripture says, Romans 8. We know that he works all things to, if we stay in that right attitude. I mean, if we stay right there in that place of expecting things to work out good, that's what I'm talking about. It's not just about church service. It's about God being able to show up in our everyday life, on our jobs, in our finances, in our families, you know. But a lot of times people, they don't stay in that place of expectation. And did you know that even in the Old Testament, over there in Psalm 78, the Bible says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, I mean, here God brought them out. We've all been delivered from the powers of darkness. Amen. If we give our heart to Jesus, we're born again. Glory and God. If we've not really give our heart to Jesus, then the Bible says that we can't see the kingdom. But if we really give our heart to Jesus, we was delivered, just like they was in Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt, brought them to the Red Sea. He showed them that he was God.
Right.
And you know, when we get born again and we really start going after the Lord and praying and seeking the Lord and reading our Bibles and fasting and doing all those things and believing God in our terrible situations, you know, I'm telling you, he begins to come and show up. He begins to show himself real, just like when he took them to the Red Sea. I believe God took them to the Red Sea on purpose. I believe he took them there to show them that he's Jehovah Jireh, right, that he's the God Almighty. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you know what? They didn't have nowhere to go. The enemy was coming after them. They were at the Red Sea, mountains all around them, really had nowhere to go, but they looked to the Lord. And you know, he caused the Red Sea part. He split the Red Sea. Did you just imagine, man, when something been split, I mean, it's muddy, I don't know. But he dried it up and they crossed. And they go out there in the wilderness, you know, and, you know, some people say that, you know, talking about finances, you know. I mean, here they are, they get out there and Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to seek the Lord. And while they're gone, they start building a golden calf.
Right.
So it tells me that God delivered them and gave them wealth at the same time.
Right.
They wasn't broke out there. They had gold, man. I mean, they're building, you know, you look at that in a bad manner, but here they are, and God caused them to possess all of the stuff the enemy had. Hallelujah. Well, how many knows that's a pattern of our life? Did they get out there, things, trials begin to set in? Do you know trials come to our lives? You know, we don't notice them as bad before we get born again, but it happens. We just deal with it. I mean, we either deal with it or don't, you know. And a lot of times, that's why a lot of our lives was messed up the time I was 27 years old.
Right.
I made a lot of wrong decisions without God, without God, without hope. But it got born again. But you know, just like in the wilderness, you know, he brought them out in the wilderness, taking them to the promised land. But you know, he had seen his word in there through Moses. You know, I mean, I believe God was wanting them to expect him to get them there. I believe that God sent the word over there and said that God's going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey. You know, you'll live in your own houses. They didn't have their own houses. They were slaves. How many knows we were slaves to sin? We were slaves to Satan before we give our heart to Jesus.
Right.
You know, and we was delivered out of the power of darkness just like they were. Symbolic, you know. Moses was the type of Jesus.
Right.
How many knows the Old Testament is types and shadows?
Right.
You know. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Everything was fulfilled in Jesus. Even all the commands that they had to do to please God, to do away with sin, all of that was fulfilled in Jesus. He is the door. But just like they got out in the wilderness, they got tired of just getting water out of a rock whenever God wanted to give it to them. Come on, somebody, we can be the same way. We can be okay as long as all the bills are paid and everybody's acting good in our families. We can be in faith and our brothers and sisters enjoying us and all that. But when things begin to go south, you know, that's when they begin to limit God out there. If, you know, I mean, he was raining manna out of heaven. He was feeding them. He was sheltering them in the daytime from being scorched in the desert. He had fire by night keeping them warm because I guess it got real cold. And he took care of them. But you know what? Most of them didn't enter into Canaan land.
Wow.
And they wandered around out there. 11-day journey could have been. And they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know, I mean, it wasn't God's will, but some went in. Caleb and Joshua went in. They get over to there. These are Caleb and Joshua. They were different, though.
Right.
That they were different out there in the same trials everybody else had. They stayed in faith. They stayed confident that what God had said to them, that he would fully, they were persuaded that God would get them there. And you know what? They got it. They experienced the promised land. And no different than for us today. God says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed, right? The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Well, the more abundant in there that Jesus is talking about, and it says life to the full, till it overflows, nothing missing, nothing broken. Well, we must expect to see that goodness of God in our lives. Come on, somebody. It don't just happen because Jesus said it.
Right.
It happens because the book of James over there, we're going a little different. They don't got none of these scriptures. And that's okay. I'm not programmed to write it down and preach it.
Right.
I've been programmed since I'm born again to be led by the Spirit of God.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And wherever he leads, I have it wrote down on paper. We're going that route. Because I don't know what everybody needs, but he does. God knows how to get us to our Canaan land. God knows how to get us in peace and joy. Hallelujah. God knows how to get our needs met out there by getting us to comply with him and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But you know, Caleb and Joshua, they went in. But you know what? They got there to the promises of God. When God, they'd been on this journey to get to Canaan land. David, all this time, they were depending on what God told them in Egypt through Moses. I'm taking you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. See, I believe he told them that where when they got out there in the trials and things that they would not lose heart. Because I mean, you know, it's real easy to lose heart when things are going south in our lives. Although we love Jesus, we love God, you know, we love fellowship and we go to church and all of that. But you know, things don't always go in our favor. It don't mean that we're defeated.
Right.
It means that we've got to fight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. So we got to fight. We got to fight the fight of faith. Well, how do I get faith, Pastor? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So me and you have got to be students of the Bible. We've got to be students of hearing, preaching, listening to preaching, reading the Bible, praying, reading books, you know, whatever we need to do. And you know what? The thing about it is when we're reading the Bible, a lot of times we don't get it right then. Not saying all the time. But sometimes we're like, well, I'm not getting done. You know, you got to get off all that. Just read that Bible. Read it. Read the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. Because there'll come a time when it'll be like, boom, that word will come up. You'll be like, man, I just read that a few days ago or a few weeks ago. Now I know how to apply it. And then that scripture then will work. Hallelujah. How many knows that? Caleb and Joshua, now when they got to the promises of God there, and Moses, I mean, they sent spies in. They sent them in there to check it out, in other words. See if it's like God said.
Right.
Because there's enemies in there. They went in there secretly. They go in there, sure enough, there's all these giants. There's all these big grapevines and, I mean, pomegranates and All of these things that God said, nice houses, a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it's there just like God said all these years later. Well, see what God says. It don't make no difference if you were 16 years old and now you're 45 and you still ain't seen it. But you hanging on to what God said. Let me tell you something. God is faithful to back up his word. Hallelujah. He's faithful. He's not in time like we are. God can speak a thing 10,000 years ago and now it's coming to pass in our life. He's God. And so they come in there and they come back and 10 of them, they say, well, just like today, it can be that way today. I don't know why we want to go to church. It's just dry church. That's a bad report. Right. I don't know, every time I go to serve Jesus, the devil. That's a bad report. They come back out of there and they said, there's giants in there. We're like grasshoppers. See, you can feel plumb defeated and not be defeated. I mean, in your situations, life, marriage, finances, all that, you can feel totally defeated and stand in the middle of that adversity and be like Caleb and Joshua. They steeled the people. And they said, wait a minute here. We're more than able, glory to God, to go in and take it. We've come all this way and we're not ready to lay down now. Let us go in up at once and take it. See, they didn't look at all the giants and the obstacles in front of them. We can't focus on all the obstacles in front of us and go on into victory. Whatever we magnify gets bigger. I mean, that's why you get your glasses. You get your Bible out, you get on up there 45, 50 years old, you realize you can't see as good. You put them, why? You're magnified it. The things that we magnify gets bigger. Well, if we magnify the promises of God and magnify what God said and encourage ourselves in the Lord, hallelujah, we won't give up on our marriage. We won't give up on our friendships. We won't. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking, Lord, you know, the Bible says that love covers, you know, I was thinking about how that we got to expect the best in people, although they're showing us the worst. They're acting their worst, but we got to believe the best. We got to believe there's something going to happen. It don't make no difference what, you know, if we don't, we will turn people away from the Lord. We'll just turn them away. We'll just push them away from us. I mean, if we push people away from us that know the Lord, we're pushing them away from the Lord because the Lord makes connections that's not favorable to us. I'm sure when Joshua took over with Moses, I'm sure he could have this. I'm going to deal with all these people, these complainers. They were complainers. Right. You brought us out here to die. Right. You know, we're tired of this manna. We're tired of the same old thing. We're tired of going to church. I mean, we can get tired. We can think these things. I'm tired of reading. I'm tired of praying. I'm getting more out. So-and-so worried me. People in the church would have done worn me out and called me to backslide if I looked at it. Right. Some people gripes about other people with the way they're doing, and then before you know it, they're doing the same thing. And I'm like, come on, man. You was griping about them doing it. Now you're doing it. You shouldn't have been judging them. You should have been covering them. You should have been saying glory to God, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching them and raising them up, Lord. Taking them to, we're all going to heaven together, Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what? If we don't stay in a right spirit, if we don't stay in a place of expecting to see God's goodness, we will lose heart. We will give in to fear, doubt, and unbelief. And we will be took captive by the enemy. But Satan's not being bad like he makes himself out to be. I'm not one bit scared of Satan. He's under my feet. And I don't say that spiritually. Some people say it spiritually. They sound spiritual. I don't care if I sound spiritual or not. Just I want to be spiritual. If I sound spiritual, good. But I want to make sure I am. Amen. Hallelujah. See, being spiritual and acting spiritual. See, Satan knows those that are God's. He knows. Hallelujah. Guy in the Old Testament, guy comes along, he says, come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. He looked at him and he said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And I mean, that they attacked him. I mean, done damage to him. See, you can attack Jesus on anything. People do it all the time. But you know what? When it comes down to the spiritual things and growing in the Lord and the peace of God, it takes that one-on-one commitment to the Lord. I'm going to see you move in my family. It don't matter if it's the husband. I mean, teaching our kids to respect God. Aubrey walks up to me and she got choked today or something. I don't know. Said she threw up. I don't know. She said, Papa, pray for me because I threw up today. I said, well, do you feel better? Yeah. And I thought, well, what's the use of praying for you? And so I said, well, give me your hand. She's the widow for your church. So she gave me her hand, and I said, thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. She'll not ever throw up again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that she feels better, that by Jesus' stripes she's healed. In Jesus' name, amen. I turned her hand loose. Hayden runs over and he said, Papa, pray for that coffin I've got.
Praise God.
And I said, what? He said, pray for that. See, it sounds all good, but it's real.
Right.
See, because whenever they encounter Papa with the Lord, they know that Papa's real. I'm not bragging on me and toot my horn. I'm not. But listen, if this kingdom ain't real and God ain't real, I'm just going back to selling drugs and I'm making good money. I'm going back to the bars and dancing and winning contests and all that. I had fun. Some people say that seeing it ain't fun. They just didn't see it like I did. It was fun. I had fun while I seen it. I enjoyed the clubbing and all that back there. I really did. Why would I want to lie? Why was I doing it? I enjoyed it. Right. Worked all week and go clubbing. Well, you know what? I got something going on now that's way better than that. Black God, hallelujah. I got confidence in Jesus. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of my body. Black God, my body has to line up when something attacks me, surgery, all of that. I get on the word and I say, God, your promises are in you. Yes and amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to have your promises.
Yeah.
I remember having trouble with my foot. After I had surgery, they took Preston, my brother, I don't know if it's so or not, how they did it, but they clipped a hole up here and a hole down there, and they clipped them veins. And he said they just pull them out like spaghetti. I don't think they do it like that. Just strip it out of there, man. So, man, they did that, you know, and I had that bypass surgery and all that. Well, I got out. I'm doing fine. I went in the hospital coming out. Let me know what that means. I went in there in faith, glory to God, that this is going to go good and that I'm going to recover speedily in the name of Jesus. That I'm going to have an anointing. The doctors are going to have an anointing. I'm not putting my trust in the doctors. They'll kill me. So anyhow, I'm there on that bed, and they brought me up there, and they said, now, we want you to walk as soon as you can. I said, which way do I go? You walk all the way around. I said, okay. Some man and buck got up out of that bed, and I'm after it, man. Because I got to walk so far before they'll turn me out or something, I don't remember. Well, all of a sudden, I get up one morning, and I'm like, glory to God, let's go, give me that walker. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go. But when I stepped down on that floor and I raised my foot up, pain hit me all through my body. I mean, I almost fell in the floor. There was a nerve or something in my foot that when they did that, that it caused that. Didn't happen all right then, but it caused that. And you want your foot cut off. You'd rather not have the foot. That's how painful it is. Really, 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 really painful. And so you didn't want to step down. But now, Dee, put me in a predicament. Let God, it's either go through some pain and bleed Jesus or stay down there and I'm ready to go. See, that's the way we are today. Don't let things become painful things in your life. They gonna bring you to promises. Painful things and painful issues in your life, if you will face them and you will fight the good fight of faith, they will take you into a victory that you never experienced before. And so, she comes in there and says, "Something wrong with my foot. Why ain't you walking? You know, we seen you the first day you was active. What happened?" They thought I'd got discouraged or something, you know. I said, "It's my foot." I said, "There's something wrong with my foot. I can put pressure on it, but when I pick it up, well, that thing, I went on," and she said, "Well, it's just your nerve. It'll just take time." So I went through the pain. I went through the pain, but God, and I marched around that hospital, but God, pain and all. I mean, I was determined, praise God, I'm coming out of there. I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm not going to be a victim of my circumstance. I call it fighting the good fight of faith and expecting Jesus to anoint me in the pain to how by his stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
And so before you know it, I come out of the hospital. Okay. Now there, don't lift nothing and don't do nothing. And I didn't even want me to tote my plate from the kitchen to the living room, you know. This surgery I had. And I mean, I'm hearing this. You're nobody now. You're never going to be the man you were. I'm hearing all these thoughts. Teresa's not going to stay weak. Blah, blah, blah. You ain't going to be able to pastor. You can't preach it. I'm hearing all these things. Don't it sound like the wilderness to y'all? Man out of heaven, water out of a rock. It's a hard place. It's a place you don't really want to be in. Then is when you know what you believe. Then is when you know that you know that you know or you don't know him. It's not in the times when we're having church and everything's good. That's good. That we get built up in these times. We come and worship Jesus and we hear the word of God and we make our minds up in church. Did you know that? Some of us gonna make our minds up tonight. I'm not going to be a complainer and when I'm washing dishes and I'm tired because everything is just I'm a housewife. Come on, somebody, you got kids and grandkids. You're a king and a priest unto God. Then God, just praise God while you wash them dishes after 25 years. Understand, lost the routine. 6:15, 10 to 6:15 after 6, my eyes pop open. And I'm like, oh, time to get up. I go in there, go through the routine every morning. Same old routine every morning. Hallelujah. And then I go off to work at 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes to 7. I'm off to work getting everything ready. And I've done that for 27 years. How many of you can get old if you let it? But I get up and I say, glory to God, it's Monday, hallelujah. Glory to God, it's Tuesday, hallelujah. It's a new day, Lord. Why? I'm not going to get stuck in the middle of now and the promise. I'm going to the promise, and I'm going to go with a good attitude, whether my body feels like it don't. Anyhow, I get home. I get home, and all is good, you know, so I'm taking it easy, and having to fight that. Buddy, when you've trained yourself for nearly 40 years to not sit in, it's hard for me to sit down and watch gun smoke back to back for 3 hours. Now, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I'd rather be out digging ditches or, you know, sweating, killing snakes, something. And so here I am fighting that battle. You know, I've got to wait 3 to 6 weeks before I can do anything. Okay, then I'm there and I call them up. They ain't called me, Johnny. They ain't called me. And I'm like, I call them up. "Hey, man, y'all told me y'all going to let me drive. Did you need to drive?" I said, "No, I don't need to drive, but I'm driving." Well, I'm not looking for a reason to be handicapped. My body's telling me all kinds of stuff. Well, I go in there, and they say, "Okay, you can go back to light duty." I thought, glory be to Jesus, I can go back to work. Some of them's like, "Oh, Jesus, break my leg, where I can't." See, don't look for reasons to get out of stuff. Don't look for reasons not to go to church. I'm going to fight for my right to go to the house of God. I've done it for nearly 30 years. But God tell me I can't preach and I'm going to jail. Y'all will have to pray and believe God. And if an angel has to come here, I'm going to preach this gospel. I'm going to come to church. Let them make all the laws they want, bless God. I'll go to jail for Jesus. They did in the Bible. And all of us should be our mind weighed up and willing to do it. But we can't do that without Jesus. And so I'm all excited, Johnny, that night. I couldn't hardly go to sleep because I get to go back to work. I mean, it was hard for me to go to sleep that night because it's going to take too long for morning to get here. It was a victory to me. See, when you're, the Bible says, Psalms, I believe it's 34, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There ain't but one way to taste and see that the Lord is good. Expect to see His goodness. Let Him show up and demonstrate Himself to you, and then you will say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. Well, that foot, I stepped out of the bed that morning. I hit the floor, and when my foot come up, there that thing was again. And so I'm hopping. I'm not putting pressure. So I'm hopping. And I finally make it to the living room in there. And I had this thought, you can't go to work today. You can't go to work. It's the same old thing. So I just throwed my foot up there and I slapped hands on my foot. I said, you lying foot. I said, you are in authority under me. You're not me. You are a foot. And you are going to carry me to work today. You got it? In the name of Jesus, I bind you in the name of Jesus. So Teresa helps me get ready. And I thought, I'm going to drive up to the shop. And I thought, no, I'm walking to the shop. So I drag my leg up through there. I'm dragging it. And I'm telling it, come on. You are going with me today. I'm going to work today. And I went to work and held Travis and him up that day, and that's fine. By the time I got off the truck and got in, they're not ready to load up nearly. But thank God I was at work.
Amen.
And I refused to bow. I'm just not telling you my story. Now, don't just think, oh, what a story. No, your story is your story. You understand? It might have been my foot and my fight of faith in that. I got the victory. Don't have no problem with my foot now. None. I whipped that puppy in the name of Jesus. It took me a few weeks, but God, but if it was still bothering me today, I would still be on it. I'm just telling you. I'm going to not let anything get in the way of the joy, abundant, full life that is in Christ Jesus. Give the scripture in Proverbs 4, is it? Let's look at some scripture. He says, my son, attend to my words. Now, you've got a comma there, and my son, talk to us, not talking to the world. The word attend means to pay like aggressive attention to. Attend to, pay attention to. Don't just read the word, the Bible. No, the psalmist David put it like this. He said, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I remember back under, you know, I didn't have a lot of them. I come from a big family, you know, 17 of us, and nobody had ever served the Lord too much that I knew of or whatever. And so when I started serving the Lord, I was 27. And so I started telling, I had Travis, and he was a year and a half old. You know, and I thought, man, I don't really know how to be a dad. You know, I don't really know how to be a dad, a parent. So I started asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I know my dad was a good man, but he didn't know you. And I read the scripture over there in Psalms 1 where it says, blessed is the man that sits not in the counsel of the ungodly. My daddy was ungodly, was without Christ. Wasn't that he was a bad man, he was a good man, an honorable man. If he said something to you and shook your hand on it, he would do it. But he was still an ungodly man. You understand what I'm saying? Good people can be ungodly, although they are good people. And I'm not to sit under that kind of counsel.
Right.
And so I started saying, Lord, I need to know how to be a dad, Lord. Lord, teach me how to be a father. Teach me how to be a husband, Lord. I don't know how to be a husband, Lord. All I've ever seen, Lord, is the husband is, he, you know, he rules. You know, and that's what I did. I just rule. If I come home on the weekend, she's fortunate to have me. If I didn't want to, I wasn't married. And so, today, later, all these years later, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart, for they are life unto those that... It brought life to my marriage. You can't get me to look at another woman in a wrong way. Not going to do it. I love my wife. I don't care if she's fat, skinny, tan, not tan. It ain't got nothing to do with that. That word brought life to me. Now I put her before me. Now, bless God, she drives a better vehicle than me if I can hit it. She ain't broke. She's got her own banking account. She don't have a job for us, and she ain't supposed to. We sought the Lord on that. Lord, is she supposed to work? Lord, what is your will in this? And we found out the will of God in that. We inclined our ear to his sayings. And she's worked a few public jobs. But now she does a whole lot. She does stuff for my business and the church and different things. But far as a job, the Lord didn't want her ever working. And so the Lord has made sure she's got her own car, got her own phone, got her own checking account, got her own savings account. She got her own stuff. Hallelujah. Lord started paying me. Y'all did. Finally got up. Where y'all's paying me? Just kidding. It's time for a raise, I think. Just kidding, Sandy. And so I told Teresa, I said, you know what? But God, you work for Jesus. I said, so you know what? I said, whatever the church pays me, I said, you have it. You just have it. I don't want no pay. But God, I didn't get in this and for pay and all of that, you know. Well, now she's got her own income coming in.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Boy, she's fortunate. No, we've inclined our ear to him. We've heard him. They're life to those that find them and help to all their flesh. See, the word was bringing help to my foot. I had that. I'm not even supposed to be preaching right now. I had nasal surgery. And he went in, my nose over the last 15 years had just grew together in there where I couldn't breathe, you know. Through my nose. You learn to live with anything, man. You know, in fact, he told me, he says, man, that thing ain't moved since 2000. A polyp in there. That thing ain't moved since 2009. I looked at him and I said, I've been on that thing with faith all these years, buddy. It couldn't move. But God, I really have. I'm telling you, I speak them sinuses all the time. You ain't getting no work, but God, by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. In the name, I did that one time or two times a day. I did it 20 most of the time when it would try to talk to me. Have you known circumstances will talk to you? Finances will talk to you. Money will say, you ain't got enough. Teresa went, she drove all the way to church one time. Told the Lord, I can't live with him, Lord. I can't live without him, Lord. Drove all the way to Coleman. I just went out in my driveway. It's 40 minutes to church. See, she didn't understand some things. She drove all the way to Coleman to talk to God. God was right there with her. But you know what? A little later on, she found out, quit complaining about me. About how I am. We learned that. I quit complaining about things I didn't like about her. She quit complaining about things she didn't like about me. And we begin to tell God, God, thank you that Teresa is this, Lord. She's a woman after your own heart. And you know what it did? Set me free. And she started doing that. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I mean, I'll pull my clothes off in the kitchen because I go through the kitchen to the living room. You know, and so I'll just pull them off in the kitchen and go sit down on the couch, you know, relax a little while. You know, that really used to get on her nerves, Donnie. And every time she'd bring it up to me, I would think, pick them up yourself if you want to gripe about it. But God, not to let her pick them up, I'll walk over four days worth. But you know what? When she started saying, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, that this don't bother me and don't get on my nerves. You know what happened? It caused something to happen in the spirit realm. And every time I would go to pull those clothes off there for a while, I would be like, wow, man, just go put them up. It wasn't because she was nagging me or all of that. It was because she changed. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know what? Praise God. And I still do it today. I'll go get everything out of them. Ain't no sweats, you know. Not even thinking about it now. And go put them in the dirty clothes. Most of the time. And she don't have to nag about it. But nagging about each other, towards each other, there's no anointing in that. The difference is when we hearken to the word, we listen to the word of God, call those things. I got scripture for what I'm saying. God called those things that be not as though they were. See, the Bible says I'm a king and a priest unto God. Well, my wife needs to understand that I'm a king and a priest. She's a king and a priest. I need to understand that she's a king and a priest. If both of us understand that we're kings and priests, then we will treat each other a little bit different. And bring the anointing in our lives. How many knows that we've got to expect to see the goodness of God? See, and I've told Teresa before, you know, I said, you know what? God is causing us to be an example of marriage. Man, if anybody can make it, you ain't got no excuse when you hear ours. I'm just telling you right now, bless God. If Jesus can do it for us, and it gives me an extremely grateful amount of courage on the inside of me that when people come to the congregation or they want counsel, that there's no problem too big that God can't work that out and them be together. It just gives me courage. Why? Because I've tasted and seen the Lord in that. Well, concerning finances. The Bible says that we're blessed going in, blessed go, blessed in the sin, blessed in the fruit, blessed the increase of our all these blessings. Proverbs 10:20, I live by the blessings. Somebody said the other day, said, yeah, we'll get another stimulus. So I said, God, send me some more of my money. That's money I'll give, that come out of my pocket anyway. Right? Yes. That stimulus payment ain't coming from the government. The government's broke. That money's coming from people all over the U.S., hallelujah, that's working and sending them money. They ain't got no money. All of that money's your money. You get stimulus money, good. You paid it sometime or another. We're just getting a little bit of it back. I told them, so I heard I'd send me some more. I'll just buy me a couple of more cows. Well, I'm not going to put my trust in the government. I'm not going to put my trust in the stimulus payments. I'm not going to put my... I told Travis one time, he had nothing wrong with getting tax credits for your kids, and I'm for all of that, so don't think I'm preaching against it, because I'm not. Period. Travis, I'd hear it every year. Every tax time gets here, I'm going to get me a refrigerator. I'm going to get me a blah, 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 you know. I'd hear that, and I'd hear it, and I mean, I got tired of hearing that, Johnny. I got tired of hearing it. So I got in trouble one day, started again. Boy, when I get tax money, I'm going to buy this and that and this and that. And I said, well, black God, what's wrong with now? I said, why don't I believe God now before tax money gets here? I said, you believe God in January, February. You can believe God in July and August. And I told him one year, I said, what if, black God, you believe God, and but you have everything by the time your tax money gets here, and you don't need nothing when your tax money gets here. And he changed the way he was thinking. He still got his tax money. His stimulus money. Y'all were quiet. Y'all must have blown all y'all. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. But you know what? Don't stay at the same level we are, is all I'm saying. Nothing wrong with that level. Nothing wrong with believing God for a house and making babies. But how about having the house paid off? How about go to another level? How about believing God to be able to make payments on vehicles? What's wrong with believing God to have them paid off? I remember it took me 3 or 4 years. I said, Lord, I owe no man nothing but to love him. Hearken into the word, right? Paying attention to the word, attend to my word. Their life to me, their freedom to me, financial freedom, spiritual freedom. Hallelujah. Told the Lord, I said, Lord, with your help in Jesus' name, this is relying on the Lord. I will never borrow another dollar for a truck, Lord. I'm tired of these payments, God. I believe in you, God. I've been down there where I couldn't afford one. I've been down there where I made payments and bigger payments, Lord. But Lord, I want to be where I can have them and be debt free. I want to be debt free and know that I can have a truck anytime I want to, if you say, without borrowing. So there's different levels that we go up. Don't be condemned if you're down there. You ain't got enough faith to get one. You got to start somewhere, right? So I went on, praise God, believing God for a metal roof on the house and didn't have the money. And I don't get money back. They won't let me. I have to pay in every year. It ain't her. I'm just making fun. She helps me good. She's a good tax lady. I've been doing my taxes for years and years. But you know, believing God for a metal roof on my house. Where did I be done, Johnny? You know, my house is brick. That's what I believe God for, a brick house with land. Then I got it and did all the upkeep.
Right.
See, when you get stuff, you got to be able to believe God for the upkeep of all the stuff that you get. And so anyways, you know, believing God for that and believing God for my trucks to be paid off, standing month after month, wanting to go get a new one like I used to or a different one, you know, and all of that, just making up my mind about God. And then they're tearing up and then I'm like, I got to get one. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. Look at the trouble. Listen, there's always trials in the ladder up in God. Okay. So don't ever think because you're trying to believe God to go up and things go wrong that it's not God's will that you go. Because there's always obstacles usually in the thought of faith. In the going, I mean, just like the children of Israel going to the promised land. I mean, they probably thought, yeah, we ain't making no more bricks and all that. But they didn't anticipate the Red Sea. They didn't anticipate the desert. They didn't anticipate all the enemies over there in Canaan land, over there that was occupying their stuff. But you know what they did? They went in there and took them out. Reminds me of Goliath. David, wasn't it? The whole body of Christ, the whole children of Israel, he come up there and raised his voice. Send somebody out here to fight a bunch of wimps down those lines every day, telling them they was nobody. Satan come tell us today, who do you think you are? I'm a king, you idiot. You jump up in his face and you say, I'm the righteousness of God. That's what I am. Hallelujah. I'm born of light. I'm born of God. That's who I am. I have authority in Jesus' name, you idiot. Who do you think you are to try to get me to believe that I am not what God says I am? Or you are not what God says you are. You jump up in his face and you tell him. That's what David did. Come out there and he heard that. He just went to feed his brothers and feed them and brought that out there and heard that uncircumcised Philistine. What that means is he knew that guy didn't have a covenant with God. He goes back to Saul. He said, who did he think he is talking to God's people that way? Let me go. Let me go. And you know, when they went and tried the armor on David, he was too little. You know, he couldn't hold up the shield and all of that. I mean, it didn't fit. And, you know, he wasn't used to fighting that way. I mean, he killed a bear and a lion, man, with his bare hands. He was used to the anointing coming on him and and just like we are today. Hallelujah. See, but it shows you that he tried to do it in his own strength. They tried to suit him up with that armor. You know, those warriors, that armor warrior that was representing the flesh. Hallelujah. He says, no, let me fight my way. He runs out and he says, you come to me with a shield and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Today, I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. Hallelujah. What are we saying? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to run after our foot or our body or circumstances and say, what are you trying to tell me? That my God ain't big enough? Don't you dare to tell me and convince me and get God's word out of my heart, Satan, or circumstance. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. I don't care what it looks like. It's not always what it looks like. It's what it's fixing to be like in Jesus' name. And you know what? Bless God. He went right in there and he took a slingshot to rock. And I believe the Holy Ghost directed that rock, popped him right in the forehead. He fell down, went, took his own sword and whacked his head off and held it up. And boy, all of them began to run then. Then the body of Christ rose up in power. Hallelujah. Because one man under the anointing of God, and that's me and you today. So I want to encourage you to expect to see God's goodness. That's in John 27, something. Put that up there. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you know what I've seen over the last year? COVID's been the glide.
Yep.
COVID's been one. I mean, just the other day, went to my heart doctor a week or so ago. And he plumb got upset at me. And I was right on the edge of bringing him to Jesus in Coleman Hospital. But Teresa stepped in and saved him.
You got the COVID? Did you get the COVID shot? No. Why not?
I don't want it.
Why not?
I ain't gonna get it. I didn't get the flu shot, and I've got the shield of faith. I'm not scared of flu, and I'm not scared of COVID. Let's kill the bunch. Well, and I looked at him, and I said, well, doc, heart attacks kill, don't it? Sugar diabetes kill, don't it? Don't cancer kill? I'm looking at the doc. Don't all that kill? Let God don't convince me to go across my faith line. Hallelujah. Tracy, she said, I got it. She's talking about COVID. Calm him down. He thought she was talking about the shot. Well, I got it. Oh, you got it? Yeah, she got it. Yeah, I had it. Yeah, I got it. He thought she was talking about the shot. So it calmed the doc down. And I thought, good thing calmed him down. I'm fixing to tell him, bless God. I don't know if you know Jesus or not, but he redeemed me from fear. He redeemed me fear. I'm not scared of COVID. I'm not scared of heart attacks. I'm not scared of open heart surgery. I'm not scared of sinus surgery, man. I just had it.
Yeah.
See, that kind to try to defy the faith that I've built in the Word of God. And I'm not down in the doctor. But don't tell me what you think is going to make me safe. I know what makes me safe. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. Glory to God, taking the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. You can say, well, it ain't of the devil. Well, did it come out of heaven? No, it didn't. The Bible says, Jesus said, Father, I pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is it in heaven? That's how we're supposed to live some of it on earth. So, that stuff come out of darkness. Hallelujah. And so this whole year, God's people's been together. I ain't going to church. I might get COVID. You weren't going to church before COVID. This was just your ride out, baby.
Right.
I mean, I've come back and I said, hey, I told Teresa, I said, if I have to go to jail, I'm opening the church. Bless God, I don't care what they say. Bless God, we're going to church. We are going to church. Then I heard our sheriff. We ain't putting a mandate on when everybody go to church. And I'm like, yes, God, you put him right in time in there, bless God. Then I go around now, I'm out there, I'm on business, and I meet a lot of folk, and I say, how's your church doing? We ain't open back up. Y'all ain't open back up? Come on, man, really? Right. Well, I mean, we're afraid to get afraid. Don't the Bible say, fear not? Fear not, fear not. All through the Bible, fear not, fear not, fear not. And some people, they told me, even before, well, you know, Brother Weston, we got to use common sense. I said, what Bible did you get that out of? Where's it at? Where's common sense at in the Bible? I don't find common sense in the Bible. I find to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. Hallelujah. I said, you tell me where common sense is in the Bible. Well, God, give us common sense. I said, yeah, we showed how smart we was before we got saved. How messed up our lives was when we come to Jesus. I said, that was common sense. I said, then we started inclining to the Word of God. Then we walked like aliens. Some people think Christians are weird that walk in faith. I've had them tell me, old fat cat Scotty, they just didn't know I was plumb broke, didn't have a dime, about to get kicked out of my house, and they thought I had all kind of money. But God found out later on, they said, you mean you was 3 months behind? Yeah. Well, how was you so confident? I said, the same God that you served, you lost, I didn't. I wasn't looking at my circumstances to determine whether I'm going to have victory or not, whether I'm going to keep my house or not. Well, you know what? A storm comes, believe in God, and I'm going to close with it. Believe in God to be out and, you know, to have a metal roof on my house, for my vehicles to be paid off and no payments. And you know what? You know what comes? A storm. God to give me a sermon 2 or 3 days earlier, standing in the storm. I didn't understand it. But I brought that message to the church, and I preached that message, steady in the storm, how Jesus was on the boat, and he's asleep in down there in the boat, the bottom of the boat with a pillow, and the disciples got all upset because the boat's being torn apart, representative of lives today.
Right.
Jesus wasn't even, he's asleep. You know, he was in the same boat. He was in the same boat. Here they are. They go down there. Hey, Master, do you not care that we're perishing? I just imagine, hey, man, what's wrong with you? Come on, man. Can't you get a COVID shot?
Right.
Look, man, you're sleeping here. We should be resting. He was resting. He was resting in the storm. He gets up, he rebukes that storm, bless God, and then he gets on to the disciples. Where's y'all faith? He'd just been teaching them about faith. So I brought that, you know. Well, the hailstorms come, beating the house up, and I'm standing out there. Oh, that storm is raging. My house is leaking in through the roof, and all of that is beating my house up, beating my windshields out of my cars, and all kinds of stuff, and everything, and I don't feel good. It's not a good feeling when you're in a hard trial. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't go by how we feel. We don't go by what it looks like or what people say. Well, when that whole storm was over, I went in there and the Lord spoke to me. Thank God for church. He didn't say that, but I'm saying thank God for church. The Lord spoke to me. He said, what'd you preach Sunday? I thought, steady in the storm. Steady in the storm. I was coming apart. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the sermon. That when I preached that Sunday, not knowing that I'm going to need it Tuesday. And so I turned my heart to the Lord in there. I said, glory to God, I walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Lord. You'll work all this together for my good. I don't know how, but God, I don't know. And then I started going out there, and people started saying, well, the insurance. They just started naming the insurance companies I've got. I'm telling you, they're a bunch of parents. You never get enough. I turned that off, and I said, I'm not putting my trust in no insurance company either. But God, I'm trusting in the living God. To make sure. And you know, when it was all said and done, my trucks were paid off. I had a metal roof on my house. I paid extra. I paid the guy $2,000 extra out of the money that they give me. I paid him $2,000 extra just a bonus because I wanted to. They did a good job on the roof and had money left over. And I had my metal roof on there, had a little pop house we wanted out there built. I gave $2,000 extra and had all my trucks paid for.
Hallelujah.
And I thought, glory to God, are there another storm? See, when you stand in the Lord and you expect to see God's goodness and you stay in the right spirit, when he comes through, it just emboldens you. It emboldens you. So I want to encourage you tonight. Encourage those that are out of church. Encourage them. They fear of COVID. Say, look, take the shield of faith. You know, and I'm not against somebody taking the COVID shot or the flu shot. Don't you think I'm against it like it's some demon? I'm not. I mean, you know, I'm not. But you know, I don't try to put my conviction on other folks, you know. But don't try to put yours on me.
Right.
You get one and don't act like I'm an alien. I got my, what they call it now that you might have to have within a year, they call it something.
Antibody.
Well, you get a flu shot or something every year where you don't get the flu or something.
Vaccine?
Booster. Booster. They brought that booster out and I thought, they did it on the flu shot too. You know, and then I thought, I wonder how many of God's people are going to get the shot and these over here is going to look down on them because they're going to think, well, they ain't had no faith. Don't be caught with that. Or these over here gets the shot or don't get the shot. These over here, well, I've got it and you're lesser than I am. You know that's going to try to work?
Yeah.
That's going to try. Satan always uses every tool he can get his hands on, bless God. So somebody says to me, you didn't get it? No, but I got the faith. They said, well, I got the shot. Great, I'm glad you did. Somebody asked me this week, you didn't get it? You didn't get it? Oh, no, I'm not going to get it. Did you get it? Yeah, I got it. Well, good for you. Good. You need it.
Right.
Good. You need it. You need it. I'm not going to get it. You need it. Well, if you're in fear, you better get it. The Bible says over in the book of Job, the very thing that Job feared came on him. Go read it. The very thing that fears your enemy. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, cowardice, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray to you. Oh, glory to God, if we